The book of Jeremiah, or more accurately, the book of the prophet Jeremiah, chapter 1, verse 1. The words of Jeremiah, the son of Hilkiah, the priest, that were in Anathoth, in the land of Benjamin, to whom the word of Yah came in the days of Josiah. Now he was a king, y'all. The son of Ammon, who was the king of Judah. In the 13th year of his reign. Verse 3. Talking about the word. It came also in the days of Jehoiakim. Y'all should know him. I preached a sermon on that last year sometime. The son of Josiah, king of Judah, unto the end of the 11th year of Zedekiah, who was the last king before captivity, son of Josiah of Judah, unto the carrying away of Jerusalem captive in the fifth month. That's the way he starts his book, telling you who he is and personal information about his background. Verse 4. Then the word of Yah came unto me, saying, Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And before you came forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee and ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. Then said I, Ah, Yahuwah Elohim, behold, I cannot speak, for I'm a child. But Yahuwah said unto me, Say not, I am a child, for thou shalt go to all that I shall send thee, and whatsoever I command thee, thou shalt speak. Verse 8. Be not afraid of their faces, for I am with thee to deliver thee, saith Yahuwah. Then Yah put forth his hand and touched my mouth. And Yah said unto me, Behold, I have put my words in thy mouth. Verse 10, See, I have this day set thee, here it is, over. Talk back to me, y'all. Say over.
Over.
Kingdom. This day I have set thee, talk back, over. No, not under.
Over.
Not on the side.
Over.
Not subject to. But I said you over. Kingdoms. That means if you're over kingdoms, you're over the king. To root out. Is it in there? To pull down and to destroy and to throw down, to build and to plant. I want to begin my series of preaching through the book of Jeremiah with this very simple and elementary subject. I want to talk about a true Yah called preacher. Talk back to me, say a true Yah called preacher. You may be seated. How many of you already know that everybody claiming to be a preacher have not been called to preach or prophesy by our Elohim Yahuwah. How many of y'all already know that? If you know there's a fact that there are some people, Gentiles, heathens, and Hebrews, who are claiming to be preachers, but have never been called by Yah to be a preacher or a prophet. If you know that that's a fact, would you just raise your hand in this house with me one time? Which means everybody claiming to be called to preach was not called by the Most High Yah. Well then, Reverend, if they wasn't called by the Most High Yah, then who called them? Well, short answer, the devil. You see, Zion, hear me in these last days. There is such thing as a Yahuwah or Yahuwah called preacher. That's Yahweh for those of you English speaking. But there's also Satan called preachers. Watch this. Where the devil, Satan, has called these men and given them a spiritual experience that they interpreted as a call from the Most High. I said Satan gave them a spiritual experience. Satan called them to preach. What did Satan show them when he called them to preach? He showed them how they could make money. Satan called preachers, were given a vision by Satan how they could make money. How they could use religion to buy houses, land, jewelry, to have clothes, and take cruises. Yeah, Satan showed them how they could pimp the people and line their own pocket. Now that's the short answer. To get a little more detail, there is a particular demon whose name is Mammon. He's the god of wealth. And our Savior Yahushua HaMashiach said, you cannot serve two masters. Either you're going to love one and hate the other, cleave to one and despise the other. He says you cannot. Somebody talk back, say cannot. He says you cannot. Talk back to me, say cannot. You cannot serve Yahweh. I'm telling you now. And Mammon. You're going to have to make a decision if you're going to preach for the Most High Yah or if you're going to preach for money. The true called preacher never even brings up the subject of money when he's called. The only concern of the true called preacher, even in this text, I'll get there in a moment, is they ain't gonna hear me. But Satan's preachers, that's not their concern. Their concern is, if I preach, how am I gonna get paid? And so you gotta understand Zion. That Yahushua spent a lot of time trying to warn us about these wolves who wear sheep clothes. He warns us to beware of those. Now watch this. Who appear to be harmless. I'm preaching. Y'all not catching it. But this is only my first sermon in this series. Who appear to be harmless, but Yahushua, who looks beyond the outside and sees the heart, warns you that inwardly they are ravenous wolves. They're just like their daddy, the devil, going to and fro, seeking whom they may devour. Yah hates the false prophet. I better say it again. Yah hates the false prophet. Look at somebody say, Yah hates the false prophet. I'm trying to tell you something. He hates the false prophet so much that when he designed hell itself, he set up a compartment of torture just for the false prophet. Now, what are the characteristics of the true call preacher? What? How do we know the difference? I mean, like, here we are, sheep, and these fellas supposed to be the shepherd. What is the test? Oh my goodness, if y'all could catch this, you're going to be all right. Because I'm trying to help the 12 tribes of Israel. I salute you all over the world. From Reuben, Dan, all the way down to baby Benjamin. I've not forgotten Naphtali, Issachar, all of you, all over the world. I salute you in this sermon. The question is, no matter what tribe I'm from, how do I tell if Yah is sending me a preacher to be my shepherd that is truly Yahweh called or Mammon called? What is the test? How will I know? Because I don't want to follow a wolf in sheep's clothes. I only want to follow a true call. Anybody in here want to follow the wolf? Oh, no, no. You don't want the wolf with the sheep now. It's going to be all bad. So watch this. Here's the test. Matthew chapter 28, toward the end, and last verse. Last thing Yeshua says in the book of Matthew, chapter 28, he says, teaching them, I'm going to help you now, to observe some things. Oh, wait, what's the Bible say? Wait, this is going to be the acid test. Teaching them to observe, talk back, all things. Any preacher telling you there's some things you don't have to observe. Any preacher telling you, if you've got another translation in your Bible, it might say, teaching them to obey all things. Because it's the same word. Any preacher telling you there are certain things you do not have to obey, you automatically know that's a satanically called preacher. Because Yahushua, sending out the preacher, said, teach them to observe all things. Now here's the kicker. Whatsoever, that means everything. Amen. That I, what is that next word? Have commanded. Commandments. If a preacher is telling you, you do not have to observe the commandments, that preacher is from the devil. Okay, he's from Satan. Ha-Satan. The deceiver. Yahushua is only sending out preachers who are teaching them to observe everything that he has commanded. Any preacher saying we don't have to teach the commandments is from Satan. If anybody in here, by that one line, that one verse, grab a little more clear understanding of who a true preacher is, would you just wave your hand in the house? Amen. So next time you hear the word, well, Pastor David is over there teaching them that God study the whole Bible, but some of that stuff don't apply to us, you already can say you are a preacher from Satan. Because we are to watch this, observe or obey all things. What the word says, whatever I have commanded.
Amen, amen.
And what he has commanded is his commandments. Anybody in the room get any clarification? And then he gave him a promise. He said, I know it's going to be rough. Yeah. I know it's going to be tough. They're not going to like you. You're going to be treated bad. But don't worry about that, because at the end of that verse he says, and behold, or lo, I, Yahushua, who is Yahweh in the flesh. He's the visible image of the invisible Yah. He says, when you teach the people whatever I have commanded, then don't worry about it, because I'll be with you always, even to the end of the age. You see, he was trying to tell what y'all call the New Testament preacher. And he was trying to give instructions to the New Testament preacher prophet that was in line with and in the same spirit as he gave the Old Testament preacher. In other words, he doesn't have one set of rules for one group of preachers and then another set of rules for another. He said, now, if y'all gonna represent me, then you have to represent me the same way as all my other preachers have represented me. Doing what? Teaching them to observe all things, whatever I have commanded. The idea is, your job as a preacher is to get the people to go back to the, thank you so much, get the preachers to go back to the Bible and the commandments of Yah to obey them. Any preacher that's not trying to turn the people back to the Most High's commandments is a preacher from the devil. And I said it. If you're not turning people to him, then you must be turning people from him. Do you understand my speech, Zion? Well, let's talk about, in these last few moments, let's talk about Jeremiah, and I'll be out your way. The Bible says, first of all, that the word came. The word of Yah came to him. Now, who is Jeremiah? He is the son, now watch this, Because this is going to help you understand the rest of the book. Don't ever use the scriptures as flyover country. These names and places and dates mean something. Jeremiah said, I am the son. That's the son. Like, my daddy is Hilkiah. Say, wait, what significance is that? Oh, you don't know Hilkiah? That's why you don't know my daddy. Okay, then let's go back and find out who my daddy is. My daddy is the priest that served with Josiah, my cousin. So, well, you might want to say uncle. So, here I've got, my kin is the king. My daddy is his priest. And the king, my cousin, he's been on the throne since he was like 8 or 9 years old. He's in his 20s now. And he's been serving as the king all these years with no Bible. Wait, you want to say what? Yeah, no book. Well, how was he serving? Well, he was just doing the best he could. But he had no book. But he was a good, you know, he was a good young man, and his mama was a pretty good woman. And so he decided, you know what, let's clean up the temple. Let's make Yah's house beautiful. Y'all let this place go. Let's make it nice. Let's clean out the room. And Hilkiah was helping clean the temple as the priest. He was in the room cleaning and straightening out. And they was about to throw a bunch of stuff away, and he saw a manuscript. The book. Yeah. What is this? He said, I don't know. Well, pick it up. He picked it up. Can you read it? No. Can you read it? Well, I'll tell you what, let's take it to Josiah. They cousins. But one's a king. He said, King, we're cleaning up. And I'm gonna be honest with you. This is Hilkiah. It's just Jeremiah's daddy. Y'all still with me?
Yeah.
Goes to the king Josiah and says, King, king, you know, all that. We're not exactly 100% positively sure, but we think 99% that this book we just found is the Torah. We think we just found the Torah. The laws of the kingdom. I'm telling you, the king, y'all get this? Have been ruling the nation of Israel without a rule book. He's been instructing the people without the instructions. So he looks at this scroll, this book, and he says, I'm sorry, yeah. I told you, ever since I've been looking at things through Hebrew eyes, I used to look at things, it looked sort of like black and white. And then I started seeing things in color. Now as I study, I'm starting to see things in HD. And it's hilarious to me. Because the king opened the book and said, I can't read. I can't read. Oh. Can you imagine running a kingdom and cannot read the rules of that kingdom? You only run in the kingdom based on how you saw your daddy run it. Because your daddy didn't have a copy either. It was lost. But it was lost in the house. Hilkiah found it, brought it to the king. King opened it up and said, this is written in Hebrew. I said, of course, we are Hebrew. Yeah, but this is like paleo Hebrew. This is the real deal Hebrew. We need somebody who can properly read this to us and tell us what it's saying. So they start searching the kingdom. And then, can you read this? Mm-mm. Can you read this? Just like we do today. You go to the Hebrews today. Can you read this? Mm-mm. Can you read this? Mm-mm. Can you read this? No. Nobody has read the law. They went in and found a woman who was a seamstress. Watch this. In the palace, who was a seamstress for other kings. In other words, she made garments for the king. And I don't know how, but through the process of time, she learned how to read the Torah. See, you cannot overlook people because you think their job is insignificant. She was the only person they could find that could literally read Torah. They said, well, give it to her. Let her read it. She picked it up and read it. The whole thing. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. Took her, I don't know how long it took you, but maybe a few days. We got to the last word, closed it. Say, okay, take this back to the king. Everybody waiting like, what did it say? Well, I got some good news and some bad news. You want the good news first? Oh yeah, give me the good news. It is the word of Yah. It's authentic. I'm the expert, I've just read it. What's the bad news? Yah is about to kill everybody for violating his temple. And he, based on what I just read, is not going to fight another battle for Israel unless they line back up with his word. They took that book, true story. I'm paraphrasing because I'm trying to, for time. They took it back to Josiah. Josiah said, Hilkiah, what she say? Oh, king, I don't know what we need to do. King, king, king. Let me bow down, king, king. But I got some good news. And I got some bad news. The good news is it is authentic. It is the word of Yah. The bad news is Yah's about to destroy us. He said, why? He said, because we've allowed Christmas trees in the sanctuary. Y'all missed that. We've allowed Baal and Ashtaroth in the temple. We have symbols that represent pagans and idols. Because we've allowed fairy tales. We've allowed doctrines of demons. We've allowed the very temple of Yah to be the inhabitation of every foul bird. This place is disgusting to the Most High, and he's about to wipe out his own house. Josiah said, wait. You mean to tell me all this time we thought Christmas was harmless? All this time we thought Easter eggs and Easter bunnies was cute? You mean all this time that we thought Halloween was just a little scary thing? You mean all this time that we had the Sodom and Gomorrah citizens living next door to the temple, that was comic relief? You mean to tell me that Yah really cares about how we live and what's going on in his temple? And you mean to tell me he's promising not to fight for us if we don't straighten up the house? And Josiah, whose real name is Yoshiyahu, please hear me, 12 tribes of Israel worldwide, hear me about one of your kings. He personally started pulling down every high place. Every Christmas tree, every Santa Claus, every reindeer, every Easter bunny, every Dagon symbol, every Astaroth symbol, every Ouija board, he threw it out. Anything that was pagan. He even saw some people worshiping the brazen snake that Moses set up in the wilderness that helped the people live after they got bit. He saw people worshiping that. He took that out of the temple and crushed it to powder. Then he went next door to the Sodomite house and burned it to the ground. When got all the priests and prophets of Baal and Astaroth, had them slain. And he cleansed the temple. And the Bible says when Passover came, there was no Passover celebration like the one they had once he cleaned the temple and the people's hearts turned back to the Most High. Watch this. That's Josiah. Jeremiah's daddy was the priest that brought him the book. They were Levites. He's from the tribe of Levi living amongst the Benjamites. Because you know every tribe had to have, that was a good catch. Had to have a city for the priest to live in. Anathoth was his city. So he point blank tells you who he is. He says, now I was called to preach during the time of revival. But let's look at the next line. Jeremiah chapter 1. Let's look at the next line. He says, and I'm going to have to rush on now. I'm 32 in. That's too long. He says, the son of Ammon, the king of Judah, in the 13th year of his reign. That's when I started preaching. He said, but then also I had to preach during the time of Jehoiakim. I don't have time to take. But this is Josiah's son. Jehoiakim hated the revival that his father brought in Jerusalem. And so when his papa died, he decided he's going to rebuild everything that his dad tore down. And then after he came to his end, that's Jehoiakim, then Zedekiah ruled, and that Hebrew was so evil. Jeremiah said, I preached during the time of Josiah, who was a righteous king. He said, but then when his boy got on the throne, I was the prophet to his, watch this, I was the prophet to my cousin who was the king. But as king, he went crazy, and I kept trying to tell him with his crazy self that he should have followed after his daddy, but no, he wanted to do his own thing. So watch this, he led the people into idolatry. So after he led the people into idolatry, Yah killed him. And then Zedekiah took his place. So I went to Zedekiah. So I lived through Josiah, and I lived through Jehoiakim, and I've lived through Zedekiah. Now watch this. I went to him and said, listen, because of the sins of the people, this nation is going into captivity. And you know what Zedekiah told me? He said, man, I'm not hearing nothing you got to say. And I said, listen, King. Yah told me to tell you, not if you go, but when you go in the captivity, you better go over there and chill out, because you're going to be there a long time. They accused him of being a sellout. Watch this. Because he declared to the king, when you go into captivity, don't fight your captors because you can't win. And this nut, he's a Hebrew. He decided to try to fight the captor. I'm telling you the truth. And the captor got him and caught his sons and made him watch while they killed his sons. Then they put his eyes out so that the last thing he ever saw on planet Earth was the brutal slaying of his two sons. Then his eyes got put out and he was put in prison. And Jeremiah the prophet watched after that. The children of Israel have to endure what's called Babylonian captivity. Now, if I was able to make his lineage and his history a little more clear to you, Zion, would you just give me a signification by the raise of your right hand? So Jeremiah is not just some fly-by-night fella. Can I help you in here? Can I say it like I want to? He was raised in church. Can I say it like I want to? His daddy was a preacher. Can I say it like I want to? His cousin was the president of the convention, who ruled over the churches. He watched the church go from wickedness to revival, back to wickedness, and then into captivity. His prophecies lasted almost 40 years. He preached through all kinds of different presidents of the convention, and he saw that the church was in trouble. And as a young boy, he was chilling in the church, the church brat. And Yah said to him, Jeremiah. He said, yeah, I hear you. He said, before I formed you in the belly, I knew you. He said, wait, hold on. Hold on. You mean before I was even in the belly? Oh, yeah. I knew you before I formed you. See, that ought to stop every Hebrew from having an abortion. How are you going to have an abortion in you Hebrew? Who are you killing? You killing the next Jeremiah? You killing the next prophet? The next preacher? The next teacher? No. We have our children. Because every one of our children is a Hebrew Israelite that Yah knew before he formed him in the belly. We don't kill Hebrews, y'all. Stop that madness. I don't care what your grandmama and them say. That's satanic to kill a Hebrew. Before I formed you, I knew you, and I'd already called you to be a prophet to the nations, and you're going to do it. You're going to go preach. I promise you that. He was like, well, yeah. He didn't say, how much am I going to get paid? He didn't care about that. You know what his issue was? They're not going to listen to me. Why? Well, what? First of all, everybody know me. I grew up in church. The second of all, I'm a kid. I'm young. And I've lived in church long enough to watch how people treat people who try to show them the truth. So I'm not really equipped, because all these old dogs that's running things now don't want to hear nothing that a young man has to say. I can't talk to them because they're too big and too old and too grown. He says, stop right there, Jeremiah. Stop. These excuses, man, getting on my nerves. Every time I call somebody, they want to give me an excuse why they can't go. Moses, go tell the people, I can't talk. I can't talk. Jonah, go to Nineveh. No. I'm going to Tarshish. Jeremiah, go tell the folk what I'm telling them. Nah, I'm just a kid. Isaiah, go tell them. Nah, I got a cussing problem. I can't go out there. I'm going to cuss somebody's move out. Are y'all with me in here? That's the first thing a preacher does. He begins to realize his own inadequacy. That I am not qualified. I know this message went longer than I planned. The preacher, the true called preacher, the first thing that they come to grips with is that I'm not qualified to carry this message. But these Hebrews today, who are called by Satan, as soon as they feel like they got the call, you can't tell them nothing. They go from not knowing nothing to knowing it all. The true called preacher is not necessarily always trying to beg for a chance to preach. But these fake preachers that want to preach to get $50 or $100 or whatever, now, hey man, can I come preach for you? Can I come preach for you? And you can prove them overnight by doing one thing. Say, well, we ain't got no money. Oh, well, Well, I think my cousin wants me to come over there and work with him. Let me get to this text. I got, give me about 4 or 5 minutes, y'all. And I'll let you go. Because it's just an introduction. He preached before they got into captivity. And he preached during the captivity. He heard the call and he knew it was Yah. And the call came and it reminded him, man, I made you before you was born. I knew you and called you. Before I formed thee, I knew thee. Before you came out the womb, I already set you apart. That word means sanctify, verse 5. And ordained thee a prophet. Then I said, ah, Yahuwah Elohim, behold, can't speak from a child. But Yah said unto me, say not, I'm a child, for thou shalt go. I'll tell you, he said, you're going to go anyway? No, you're going. Go to all that I shall send thee, and whatsoever I command thee, thou shalt speak. Be not afraid of their faces. I don't care how the Hebrew look at you. I'm with you. I don't care how they talk about you behind your back. I'm with you. Matter of fact, I just got news of this not too long ago. Somebody was talking to Pastor Binion, and my name came up, and he said, yeah, I heard he done went off the deep end. Hebrew, who are you? You haven't spoken to me one day. We ain't sat down over no lunch. We haven't done, how in the world you saying something about me? You don't know what I'm teaching? But you know what Yah said? That's not your concern how these Hebrews look at you. And how what kind of face they make when your name come up. He had to warn the true prophet about this. Hundreds and thousands of years ago, we ain't changed. Now watch this. Don't worry about that. Even if Fresno, California preachers get together and write a letter declaring that you're no longer in the brotherhood and you're on your way to hell, don't sweat it because I, are y'all in here with me? He said, I'm with you. To do what? To deliver you. And that gave him comfort. Then Yah put forth his hand and touched my mouth. And Yah said to me, behold, I put my, there it is. This every called preacher right here. Behold, I put my words in thy mouth. See, whenever you have man's word in man's mouth, that's a satanically called preacher. But whenever the preacher has Yah's words in his mouth, and his words equal his laws and his commandments and his statutes and his precepts, you know that Yah called him, because Yah is the only one that's going to put Yah's words into Yah's preacher's mouth. The false preacher does not have Yah's words. That's why he fights for the Christmas tree. We're going to have a Christmas tree. Say, hey, man, that's pagan. Well, we've been doing it. My mama did it. Grandma did it. Yeah, you didn't read about Josiah's day? The whole kingdom was doing it till they opened the book. Hebrew, we done opened the book. We found. down the book. We've opened the book and we see that Yah hates it. So we're going to get rid of it. So you've got 10,000 folks saying this ain't nothing wrong with it. You got one or two of us saying, no, it's satanic. Are y'all in here with me?
Yeah.
What is the acid test? Which preacher has the word of Yah in his mouth? Forty-five minutes. I'd probably cut my own self off by now if I was listening online. Hang in there, Hebrews. I got to get to this last point. See, I have this day set thee over the nation. See, we can't be hobnobbing with the nation because we over the nation. See, I cannot let Barack Obama or the legislation or anybody else dictate what I'm going to say. If you all been paying attention to the news lately, everyone with the 501c3, the government is now sending people from the federal government to tell these preachers what they can and cannot preach. All you got to do, Zion, is look it up to see if I'm telling you the truth. They're sending agents from the federal government to these preachers to remind them what they can and cannot say. Let me share something with you right now. I'm talking about me on nobody's payroll. I don't need no 501c3, nothing. I'm over the nation. I'm not talking about just me. I'm talking about every God or Yah called prophet. Obama does not give me advice. I tell Obama what thus saith Yah. I tell the Supreme Court what thus saith Yah. The Supreme Court is not over the preacher. The preacher's over the court. I don't go to the city council asking information on how I should approach my church. Do you see the word say over? Nations. And over kingdoms. Number one, to root out. Root out means you got to go dig up some stuff that has been planted that shouldn't be there. Anybody know agriculture? No, you don't just start putting seeds down. You first got to pull up the roots of the weeds that have grown in the field. That's my job right now. We're spending most of our time just rooting up stuff that's been put in the church that has no biblical reason or purpose for being here. Part of the job. Any pastor not rooting up stuff is called by Satan. Number two, to pull down. That represents strongholds. Stuff that's up high. I know I keep harping on it, but that Christmas tree normally want to reach the ceiling. Somebody got to go up there and pull it down. All this idolatry, you know I'm talking symbolically here, right? Any type of idolatry that's a part of worship, someone has to be bold enough to pull it down. Talking about the true preacher. Then after you pull it down, do what? Destroy it. And everything else, throw it down. And once you do that, then you can start building. And then you can start planting. That's the true position of the preacher. He said, man, what do you see? Jeremiah, what do you see? Jeremiah said, I see a rod of an almond tree. Yeah. That's right, brother. And you know what that represents, don't you? Aaron's rod that budded. The almond tree represents judgment. You see that? You see that? You see that rod about to put on flowers? Mm-hmm. My judgment is coming right now. Tell my people. And what else you see? In verse 12, he said, then Yah said unto me, thou hast seen well, for I will hasten my word to perform it. In other words, I done spoke judgment and I'm about to execute it. Verse 13. Then the word of Yah came unto me a second time. Wait, he first showed me that. I said, what do you see now? I said, I see a seething pot, a big boiling pot, and the face of the pot is pointing toward the north. He said, yeah, you're right. That pot represents judgment. I'm about to bring down judgment upon my people from the north. Yeah, out of the north, evil shall break forth upon the inhabitants of the land. Verse 15, for